There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
An Erio's original.
I see you as a person who, dare I say, you don't get bored. Your void might not be that empty.
That's not true.
Okay.
I would love for that to be the case. Mm. And it would be nice bow for me to go, yep, that's true. Thanks for having me.
Right.
But it isn't true. The truth is I fight the demon of inactivity. Mm. I fight this demon of like being frozen. And so I think I keep moving because I know the minute I stop, I fall into that void, and it's not a pretty void. Carrie Lynn Kenny.
Cute.
My mother was Sharon K. Magehi.
Mm.
There's a lot of Irish running through these
Magehi.
Veins. Sharon K. Magehi.
How do you spell it?
M-C-G-A-U-G-H-E-Y.
I love it.
It was good. I mean, it is good.
It is good.
Yeah.
Would you name your next of kin Magehi?
That probably wouldn't go over so well with my Jewish in-laws. Magehi hyphen Silver.
Is your husband Jewish?
He's Jewish. Yeah.
What? Tell me his name again.
Steve Silver.
That's right.
Magehi.
Carrie Kenny Silver.
Yeah. It's a mouthful.
It's actually gorgeous.
Thank you.
Welcome to Filling the Void, which is a podcast I do where I talk to people about what they do for pure joy, their hobbies, no agenda driven things, nothing you make money from, just the fun of doing something for your life that you like and don't care what anybody else thinks. And we were just briefly talking about how the one hobby you don't have that you hate is cooking. Which I love because I hate it too. And I eat out of a box.
I eat out of the freezer.
Yeah.
I eat out of the freezer.
That makes me feel so much better because I do think you're such a great mom. And I feel so guilty. Not that my kid doesn't eat well, but she isn't eating like I did when I grew up. And my mom made dinner every night.
I just don't get it. I don't get it. I don't care to get it.
Same.
I don't enjoy it. I don't enjoy. I am way too type A. Everything has to be in order.
Right.
It has to look like the picture.
Right.
I'm not it. And then when people come over and you have to cook, listen to me, how you have to cook. When people come over and the idea of chit-chatting while you're following, I don't get the toss in this, a little bit of that. This makes no sense to me.
No.
I bake.
Totally.
So I'm all about the science of it, the time, the temperature, even the altitude of things. I love that.
Yeah.
And I love the exactness of it. But I don't love cooking. I don't love the cleanup. Even the cleanup from cooking is gross.
It's like the worst
grease
part.
And, like meat juice. I don't mind cleaning up flour and sugar, but like bones.
Oh, how about you go through the process of like the raw chicken and cleaning that and the the dicing and the chopping and all these different vegetables that you have to take out of plastic bags and rubber bands, and it's all parsley debris everywhere. And then you eat it and it's gone.
Yeah. And then, no, but it's not gone. There's schmutz left on the plate.
Of everything.
Of everything.
And because you need a thousand different plates to do stuff.
And also, there's a risk in cooking that you could actually kill people. Yeah. I can't kill someone with a cake. It might not be as moist. It might not look as pretty, but you're not going to die. If I don't cook the roast beef all the way, everybody's going to die. And that's not fun. But if I pull a frozen pizza out of the freezer and put it in the toaster oven, I don't even bother to use the oven, you're not going to die.
I know.
You might not love it.
I think it's good.
And luckily, you won't ever probably come back and expect me to cook for you again. Then you get the message. Like, oh, this isn't where we come for food.
100% I'm with you every step of this way. I also love baking. Do I do it that often? No, here's why.
Okay, why?
There's a lot that
Have a baby, you have a little. It's a lot of work.
Well, it's also when you bake something, you have a lot of that thing. And then I bring it to a thing and no, I don't eat sugar. I don't eat gluten. I'm not interested in sweets. Great. So I just made a pie. Mm. And by the way, it's easy as pie to make a pie.
Yes.
And
And Paul and Mary come to our house for dinner. You know what you're going to get. And I'm cooking. This is me cooking for you.
Pasta.
Pasta with sauce out of a jar.
Yeah.
A really nice salad out of a bag.
Okay. Thank you. Thank God.
Okay.
You didn't say I make a really nice salad. No. Because I would have told you to leave.
Let me tell you. Here's the rub. Here's the rub. My husband is a gardener. I mean, big time mega. We have a garden in our backyard. We actually sell tomatoes in the summer, organic tomatoes, to local restaurants. This is his life, the garden. He comes home from work. He's so back cool. in the garden. He loves it. There's a sign back there, Silver Farms. This is his other identity, is that he's a gardener. I also don't get that. Mm-hmm. I appreciate it. Mm-hmm. I will kill a rubber plant.
Right.
So now imagine this. Someone who doesn't cook with a counter full of fresh produce.
Ugh.
And I just sort of look at it and go, this would be great if I knew what to do with it. So we just, chop it up and put it in salads and...
It's still impressive that when you say we chop it up.
You know what I mean when I say we. He does it.
Yeah.
And I just look at it and put it in bowls and make it look pretty.
Right.
And go to and say to people, look at what we did
in
the garden. Right. I have nothing to do with it.
I can set a table like nobody's business.
Oh, I'm a tablescaper. I'm a closet tablescaper. I will even, the night before a holiday, what am I talking about the night before? The week before, I am researching my tablescapes. I can make incredible place cards. I'll show you some pictures.
Yeah.
I'm pretty, the best year was the most challenging tablescaping year was the year that Hanukkah fell on Thanksgiving.
Wow.
Tablescape that, my friend.
I can't. Is it brown and gold and blue?
See, you and I, we think alike.
Right.
This is what I did. It was some blue, like a slate blue.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, of course.
Some browns, and some gold. And I found on the internet, because you can find anything on the interweb once you ask Jeeves, I found an image of an old-timey boy pushing a wheelbarrow filled with gourds, and he had payas and a yarmulke. I don't know under what circumstance. I printed it out on little paper. I tea-dyed the edges.
Oh,
I took pieces of wood that I sawed and made into little place card holders, and that became
the centerpiece.
And then I took a wicker horn aplenty.
Great. I love a wicker accessory.
Myself right now.
No, I love yourself.
Okay. I took a wicker horn aplenty and I filled it with
Hanukkah
gelt.
Yes.
Okay.
That is.
Okay.
Yep.
Yes.
That's the money shot right there.
And no one appreciated it.
Well, I can't believe that that's true. That no one appreciated it. But I would be the type of person to talk about that all night.
Yeah, and that's the other thing. I don't host well because I'm so psycho about, like, is it too hot in here? It's too hot in here. Can you hear the music? This isn't good music.
Right.
This doesn't taste right. Hold, let me replate that. We're using the wrong plates. I brought out the wrong plates. That's a salad plate, not a dinner plate. Oh, wait, we have larger dinner plates. Now the food looks too small on the dinner
plate.
Totally. I am a good time.
So what is your gardening?
So I'm like a, I'm like a maker. And I do a little bit of everything. I knit.
Yeah.
I weave. I paint. I draw. Mm-hmm. I bake. I produce my own parties. Like for my son, every year the party is a major theme and he gets really into it.
I love a theme.
And I mean, I theme the hell out of these parties. So if the... You know, we did one year Minecraft birthday party, and I screen printed a Minecraft t-shirt for myself and sewed a Minecraft skirt. I block printed fabric and made a Minecraft skirt. And then I built these giant Minecraft people out of paper and spray paint and cardboard. And then I made the cakes because I worked in a catering company years ago while we were doing the state and Viva Variety back in New York. I still worked at a bakery in the bakery section of a catering company. So I learned baking.
What bakery?
Really early on. It's called the Cleaver Company, and it's really a catering company. I think they have a restaurant now or a takeout place at Chelsea Piers, mm-hmm. but they had bakers there. And so I worked closely with them and learned a lot. My mom taught me a lot. One year we did a race car birthday. So I made, this is when he was really little. So I made cars out of cardboard boxes. I spray painted them. I put working lights on them and then suspenders on them so the kids could wear them.
What?
And we made a track, right, for them to race. We had helmets.
Working lights.
Yeah. So stick-on lights
uh-huh.
that I get from Home Depot, you twist them, they turn on, right?
Yeah. Battery-operated.
Battery-operated.
Yeah, man.
I have
the kids, like, photo proof
of all this for you, Leslie. Yeah, the kids love it. They love it. But now they've come to expect, like, we did an army theme a couple of years ago. So, of course, full camo for the whole family.
Yeah.
I did a three-tier camo cake with fondant, and then I had army men parachuting from the ceiling of the kitchen, coming down, landing on the cake, you know, from fishing line, you know.
But wait, so you made the cake this time?
Yeah.
I always make the cake.
I did fondant.
How do you know how to do that from the catering company? What is
fondant? I actually didn't do fondant with them. Fondant is a horrible tasting. It's like a clay that's edible is a very layman way of saying it. But you roll it out. You can buy it pre-made. I don't make my own fondant. You buy it pre-made. You color it by putting liquid color in it.
It's cake clay.
It basically. And you roll it out and it becomes this beautiful, smooth, smooth, flat surface. And then you lay it over your cake or you cut it into. So one year I did a Lego cake that looked like it was a couple of tiers and it was white. But then I rolled back one side of the leg of the white fondant. And underneath it, I had made Lego bricks out of different colored fondant and made it look like the underneath of the cake was Legos. And then I put I did Lego fire trucks all the way up it and Lego firemen putting out the fire, putting out the candles on the top of the cake. And then
my mind is blown. I am beside myself.
I'm a crazy person. So it's like,
do you Pinterest these?
I don't.
You don't put them on Pinterest?
I don't get Pinterest. I've tried to figure it out.
I don't
understand it.
I barely do.
I'm much too dumb for that.
It's not. It's just, anyway, it isn't important. But I do think it's important that you document these things for the public.
I have photos of them. We just did, the biggest one was my son's bar mitzvah. So I realized, like, we've got it. And my son loves a theme.
He loves a theme.
Still, he's 13. He's like, what's next year? He's like, whoa, when I turn 17, we're going to. He's 13 now. He's we did cool. his bar mitzvah. The theme was steampunk. He loves
what a great theme.
Steampunk. And it turned out great. I did these.
That's so cool. He has so many interests.
He's been like steampunk character for the last 3 years of Halloween. He sometimes to school, he still do like a monocle top hat and walking stick. That's another podcast.
Well, I am interested. I don't want to forget the monocle. I'm interested in getting one.
Well, we've got a collection.
However, tell me a little bit about his bar mitzvah, because I see, you know, you're an arts and crafts person.
Yeah. Also not Jewish. So it was like a big, you know, what am I doing? How do I?
Well, a lot of bar and bat mitzvahs, in my experience, haven't been very Jewish at all.
Well, what I came to learn was that it's you're throwing a party. So that's separate from the ceremony. And
the party is different. If you're very Jewish, you have a luncheon with some bagels and lox and you call it a day.
Right.
If you're kind of Jewish, you have a blowout.
We had a blowout. But I also didn't want him to be that kid that was like, you know, yo, 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 Kai's 13 with like dancers and his name in some giant like 4-story graffiti wall, because it's just gross.
Yeah. So it's kind of 90s. But do kids still do that?
Kids still do that. Right. I wanted it to be like, if we're going to have a quote unquote big thing, which it wasn't in the scheme of things. But, you know, for us, I was like, we're doing it ourselves. We're going to make this happen.
That's cool.
We had people help us who were amazing with, you know, the vendors and, you know, organizing. But anything that was to be sitting on the table or in the air or on the walls, I wanted to make. So I created these. My husband's a DP.
Right.
And he said, well, we got to light this thing. This is a big open space. So he said, what about China balls? You know, the big paper China balls. I said, well, those don't fit into the theme of steampunk. But if they were hot air balloons, they would. So I made 11 of these 8-foot hot air balloon, out of China balls. I left them white and I used yarn that looked like rope. It was
gray
and white.
Yes.
I put baskets, hot glued baskets to the bottom. And then I found these incredible steampunk wacky characters on Etsy that I printed on cardstock. And then I cut them out and put them inside the baskets. So, and then I got these vintage binoculars to put at the table. So while you're at the table, you can look up into the baskets and see these hot air balloony
people. For the
people.
Love of God.
I know, I'm a crazy person.
No, this is amazing, because not only, now never mind the art and craft of it all. I don't think it's crazy. I think it's very resourceful, and I love that part. But the innovation, I don't know if I would be able to think of that idea without a partner, without it being a collaboration. It just is, I've never heard of anything so smart.
That is really kind of you. But I do a lot of research. So one thing I'm not great at is coming up with the idea by myself. But I use reference. So I'll look through and I'll say, oh, okay, hot air balloon craft. I'll look it up and say, okay, that person used yarn, but that's going to be too thin. This person used hot glue. That's going to burn through. So I do research. It's not, I don't just conceive of it entirely on my own.
I think you do.
Okay.
I think you made up the idea of the Lego cake, revealing that there were Legos underneath the white.
Some things happen by trial and error, too.
What happened
was I started by trying to make the entire cake out of fondant Legos and realized this is going to take me till he's 18.
Totally, yeah.
So I thought, well, what if it looks like it's all made, but we cover some of it?
That's art and craft in a nutshell.
It comes from a place of, like, my mind doesn't ever stop going.
Right.
So I have to stay busy or I go cuckoo.
So I know, okay, art and craft and the themes, which I also love that your son, gives you, like, has a theme every year, and he seems so creative too.
Well, he loves a theme. He's a maker too. So he's always building something. Great. You cannot see our dining room table. Right this very moment, it's filled with tubes of water pumps, Legos. We're both working on a drawing project together. Yeah. There's always something being made on that table.
I want my kid to be this way too. And my fear is that if I push it on her, she'll rebel.
You know, I say just that was my fear too. Because mm-hmm. I thought, okay, I don't surf. I don't, I'm not a big hiker. I'm not a big, those things, like, God forbid, what if he's like a sports guy? Mm-hmm. We're screwed. Because mm-hmm. we're, I'll take him to it, but I don't know anything about it. I don't. Right.
And I prefer sitting.
I love to sit.
Yeah.
Preferably indoors.
Yes.
So I just had that stuff around. And when he was little, I would have the sewing machine out. I make clothes too. So I'd be making something. I would make him clothes. And slowly but surely he would say, what's that? Can I try? And he would sit on my lap. And so I started giving him, I would get felt and cut it into shapes and let him, because kids love looking at things the way they work, the way they move. If I push this, then that makes that go down. And this makes. So I just started sort of letting him discover it. I also put a drawer low in the kitchen mm-hmm. with baking stuff for him. Mom came up with the idea to put little Tupperwares with things like flour, sugar, things that felt good and interesting. And then his sized utensils. So he could pull them out whenever he wanted and quote unquote bake, right? So he would just, be
in the kitchen with
me.
With a big mess though?
Yes, the mess. But again, You'll get over it. You'll get over it. Because it's good for them tactily and it's also just great, for them to start. But panicking. Oh, cleaning up behind him all the way.
Right. Mary just got a tea set today.
That's fun.
And messy. She really likes it.
Yeah.
It's a pretend.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So, but she's going to want to stop pretending and be putting stuff in it soon. And I'm like, layer the house in newspaper and put it outside. Like,
I remember my mom got me a Barbie pool for mm-hmm. Christmas one year, and Christmas in Connecticut is cold. And she said, but you can't play with that till you can play with it outside,
right?
Because this is how I was raised. So I took that and my Easy Bake Oven, which I wasn't supposed to use, and used them both one night in my room. Started a small fire and got water everywhere. So,
well, the water from the pool put out the fire.
Yeah. So let that be a cautionary tale.
I would have this. My mother would say the same thing.
Yeah.
So tell me what. So sewing machine now. That's also, I do have a sewing machine and I don't know how to use it and it intimidates me.
Can I come teach you?
Of course.
I love to teach friends things. I taught my best friend how to knit and now it's like her go-to thing. You can do it anywhere you are, anytime. Another friend of mine said, I would love to learn how to sew, but I'm looking at classes. And I said, what are you talking about? I'll come over for 20 minutes. I'll show you how to thread it. We'll make a pillow. And 6 months later, she had made drapes. She made a duvet cover. She's making dresses for her daughters. I think it's just the fear of, well, I can't do that. I was never taught, or I don't know how to work those things. It's these things are these basic, and we're not, I don't think we're teaching them anymore. And I think that's a shame. I learned how to knit when I was in fourth grade from every weekend, my mom would drive me to this old age home where a friend of hers' mother was, and she would teach me. And during the week, if I dropped a stitch, I was in trouble because there was no YouTube to check, and visiting days were only on Sundays. Right. Listen to me, I sound like I'm 700 years old.
No,
I had to walk through the snow.
I get it. I mean,
but then I would go back a week later, and she would, that's how you fix a drop stitch, and that's how, and all the way even through high school, I would knit. I would hide my knitting in my locker because it wasn't cool then. Now it's like, sort of back in.
Are old people one of your hobbies? Because this isn't the first time it's come up with me and you. And
yes. I think we're missing out on a sort of cultural thing in this country. I think in other countries do it much better, where we separate ourselves so much, not just economically or by race or by, you know, gender or, you know, especially in LA, you get into your pod and you drive your pod to the place mm-hmm. where there are people who also look like you and have similar financial status to you. And then you drive your pod to another place where, and children are not tolerated in certain restaurants and the elderly are not tolerated because they don't move fast enough
right.
or they're not dressed well enough or whatever it is. And I think I go to other places when we travel and I look around and I go, yeah, this makes more sense to me.
Yeah.
There's kids running around and we sort of like do it once a year, right? At holidays, you get the family together, you get the different age groups together. But when you go to Italy and there's, you know.
Right.
Yeah, grandma's in the living room. She's been dead for a week. The kids are playing with her, you know?
God, Carrie, you are such a joy and so cool. I wish that I lived closer to you because I would be your best friend.
I wish you did too. I feel the same way about you.
Do you really though?
I just drove
a lot of people say
7 hours to come see you.
I know, it's true.
Because I feel that way.
God, that is so true and so nice. And like, you live in Malibu.
Yes.
Which is a great, cool place to live.
It's a little far.
Yeah, but you know
what? From everything.
What is everything? Like, it's far from what you just described. I don't really know. I guess it's the same thing in Malibu that it is here, that we get in our pods and
yeah.
go.
Oh, for sure.
Everybody looks the same, but I don't know. I don't mind really being far. I don't need to be like up in whatever action there is.
No, one thing that's hard about living all the way out there is when people do come, they sort of have to come for a long period of time,
right.
which is nice sometimes.
Totally.
But then you have to give them food. And that's where I always panic, where it's like, chips? I know we had chips for the first two meals today.
Totally.
More chips?
I am so the same. I'm like, so maybe we should order.
Yeah.
And then it becomes the waiting.
Oh, the waiting.
Order. So then they're still around for a while and I'm a little like getting hungry, but we already went through our breakfast and lunch chips.
Yeah.
I'm so the same, dude.
I don't know.
Well, when I come over,
is there hope for us? You'll bring your own food.
Yeah. I'll be prepared and also it isn't like the never-ending guest staying, cuz there's if I'm going to go to Malibu, I'm going to hit up the spots.
You and I are so similar in so many ways. We also have the same, we've talked about this when we were in Catalina together.
Mm-hmm.
We also have the same sort of tolerance for people, for interaction.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, I can, you know, I'm all in. Like, what are we doing? Where are we going? I'll try anything. I'll do great. And then there comes a point where I'm like, okay, now I'm going to go stand mm-hmm. alone in the bathroom for like 20 minutes.
And vape. Do you still?
I still do.
Thank God.
But you know what? It seems like I always need some kind of vice. And it's so, well, I think, I don't know, all the studies haven't come out yet, but it might be better than crack. So I'm going to stick with that for now.
Look, I just like that. You still have something.
Gotta have something.
This is a vape friendly home. Just letting you know.
Yeah.
And I don't, you know, if you don't want people to know,
no,
we can take that out.
Please. I have no, I am an open book.
Yeah. That's one of the things I admire about you, is that I feel like shame is not one of your hobbies.
I have the opposite problem. Mm. I will hold up the line in the grocery store to tell the checkout lady, who I've never met before, about how I thought I was going to crap my pants on the way to a party because I had eaten raisins and raisins aren't great for me. But it turns out I didn't crap my pants, but the gas was really bad.
Totally.
I mean, I'll tell anybody
right.
to a fault, to a point where my husband's like, we don't have to share everything.
Right. You make friends wherever you go.
Oh, well, I don't know about friends, but I can talk to anyone.
Share.
I'm an oversharer.
But I think that I can bring, you're the type of person that I could bring to any party, any any place and the supermarket, a party, wherever, we'll have a good time. And we're not getting out of there without talking to a few people.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Whereas my husband is very polite in a normal way that has boundaries.
Our husbands are normal people. And I'm envious of it. I'm always envious of that sort of, my husband, if somebody comes and they're going to stay 20 hours, he's good with it. Great. We'll pull out some pillows. If they want to stay for 20 minutes, he'll make it work. I need to know what it's going to be, what it's going to look like. I can wrap my brain. I can adapt to whatever it is, but I have this thing about needing to know what's it going to look like.
Right.
And then I'll work my crazy brain around it.
I don't think it's crazy. I feel the exact same way. And I don't envy our husbands.
No.
I do like who I am, but I understand that it's not for everybody. Now, you know this podcast is called Filling the Void?
Yes.
So part of that, you know, it's like, what do we do to fill the empty holes in our hearts? And clearly you have many ways in arts and crafts. Like, I see you as a person who, dare I say, you don't get bored. Your void might not be that empty.
That's not true.
Okay.
I would love for that to be the case. And it would be nice bow for me to go, yep, that's true. Thanks for having me.
Right.
But it isn't true. The truth is, I fight the demon of inactivity. I fight this demon of like being frozen. And so I think I keep moving because I know the minute I stop, I fall into that void, and it's not a pretty void. So right. I once heard, you know, my brain is a dangerous neighborhood. Don't go into it alone.
Right.
So what happens to me is I sink into this abyss of binge watching. Mm-hmm. Where I'll separate myself from, just catch up on the show for 20 minutes. And then all of a sudden I find myself sucked into the void, and all these things, all these plans, all these projects, all these things go away. And then I feel lost and dark and empty. And then it's like a uphill climb to get myself, God, just make something, just give something. Right.
And you don't feel comfortable with being in the, I'm not creating something right now, I'm not interacting with anybody right now, but that's okay.
No.
Right. I see.
I don't. And let me tell you, the catch 22 of it all is, if you told me, I've had a couple months where I just come home, I lay down, I read a book, I binge watch, I, you know, when I'm not taking care of my child, my husband, obviously, I would say, good for you. Good for you. I cannot give myself that break.
And you
I
think can't. Reading is included in that?
No, I guess okay. I don't. Okay, I guess okay. I don't. No, because reading feels active to right. me. Yeah, no, reading feels good.
So giving yourself a break, going easy on yourself, you move to avoid the void.
Well, yeah, I do. And I'm okay if there's a balance.
Right.
If it's, you know, in a day, right before bed for 2 hours, I'm going to watch a show. But if I feel like I'm going to waste away a day right. doing this, I will take every spear and arrow to beat myself up about it. Because look what you could have done. Look what you could have accomplished. Look at these things that you make and these things you do and the places you could be taking your kid and you didn't.
Right.
And that can then sink me deeper into inaction.
Yeah.
I'm fun, guys. I'm a lot of fun.
But you're hard on yourself.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. Very hard.
And what, do you think that there are benefits to that?
I'm proud of my work. Mm-hmm. I think I'm a perfectionist. Mm-hmm. I'm proud of the things I make. Mm-hmm. I'm not always proud of my, my sort of pushing my son. And when I say pushing him with perfection, it's not, we're not a grades, you know, bring that grade home or whatever, or a, you know, in everything that he does. But I do find that I want him to be accountable for him doing the best that he can do. Do you feel like that was the best you could do?
Right.
If you know, if this D, he doesn't bring home Ds, but if this D was the best you could do, I would absolutely say, let's go have ice cream.
Right.
But I do find myself a lot of the time teaching him to question himself about things more than I would like to. Because I think the world is going to.
Right, right. Yeah. That's super interesting. I don't necessarily think that's right or wrong or good or bad. I don't have an opinion on that. I think that's cool. If anything, maybe I could have used somebody when I was growing up asking me that as well. But I say that not giving it a lot of thought. So
I was raised, you know, when there wasn't a whole lot of accountability. It was just a different time.
Right.
And there were some incredible benefits to that. But first and foremost, I want to raise a happy person who cares about how they're affecting the world around them so that there is some accountability.
Right.
Am I being the nicest that I can be in this circumstance? Did I give back in the way that I was able to in this circumstance? Am I putting out good things in the world? Because ultimately then I think you get back great things, and that's what I want for him. Yeah. I don't want him to just blindly go through life. I think there's so much more.
Totally. That's awesome. That's so inspiring to me, and how I would want my daughter to feel about life.
I'll needlepoint it for you onto.
And you know how to needlepoint?
I do. I'm not very good at it. You are very good at it. You've been doing some incredible ones.
I wouldn't say I'm very good. I would say
cross stitch I can do, not needlepoint.
Cross stitch. It's the same. Needlepoint is easier than cross stitch, in my opinion. Yeah, it's super easy. The thing about needlepoint is that it takes a long time.
Yeah.
And it can be, I sometimes give up a lot because it's the same thing over and over again.
Right.
It's fine. It's a good thing to do. It's similar to knitting, where you can do it anywhere. It's a little bit. It's not as cool to pull out, I'd say, in public as knitting. Mm-hmm. Not that that's cool, but it's a little bit, to me, pulling out a needlepoint is, it's a bit rich.
Yeah. Oh, it's a lot.
This.
Did you do that?
I did not. So this is an example, and we're looking right now at a pillow that my grandmother made that says, you cannot be too rich or too thin.
Too thin. Oh, grandma.
My grandmother did that from start to finish.
Oh, I love her.
This is a very time-consuming thing. My grandmother is no longer with us, and I believe her love of needlepoint and how long it took is what killed her.
Well, at least we have a pillow. No, needlepoint causes cancer.
They just found that out yesterday.
Yeah. I just did a pillow for a friend that said, which is same thing. You pull out your needlepoint and people go, weird, she's needlepointing. And then they look at what it says. And it said, damn, it feels good to be a gangster.
Right.
But it had like rainbows and a squirrel. But I, speaking of cancer, I pulled that out at the hospital while my mom was dying and I'm needle pointing and all the nurses came over. Oh, let me see your, and all they see is that I've written the word damn. Yeah. In the middle of the word damn. So,
right. So there are like, there are needlepoint and embroidery. Do you embroider?
I did one embroidery project I can show you, and it's not great. Before we went to our, we have a cabin up in Northern California. Before we went 1 year,
where
I
Northern
thought
California?
It's up like the by the Oregon border, a town called Happy Camp, California.
What if we lived a house there? Right next to your house?
Yeah. Okay. Let's do it.
It's called Happy Camp.
Yeah. It's a town called Happy Camp, California.
And how long does it take to get there?
It takes 7,000 years.
Wait, I don't want to go off on a tangent on this, but it does have to do with stuff. Happy Camp, it says, you said 7 hours by car?
No. It's, we usually take a trip, we do a day. No. We'll do a day of driving and we'll stop over in San Francisco and then we'll go. But,
and how long do you stay there?
We will stay like a week, right. But here's the thing. This cabin is a historical landmark in the town.
Right.
It was a gold mining cabin. Wow. So we own the gold mining rights, we own the mineral rights to the property and to the and we own the rights to the cabin in the sense that we can go there, we can mine the property, we can camp there, but the cabin was built in the 1800s. We don't live in it. We don't stay in it.
This is a camping excursion.
Basically, we can't touch this cabin except to update it, except to, you know, keep by the historical. Yeah, exactly.
In good condition.
Yeah.
So is camping not one of your hobbies?
I love camping.
Me too. And your husband does?
Loves camping.
My husband does not.
Oh, okay. Well, we'll leave him.
Yeah. What I love about a hobby.
Yeah.
Is the stuff that you buy to go along with it.
Yeah. Oh, so like, yeah. Oh, I love it.
Like a craft store.
And then you got to have a tote bag.
Oh,
I got
tote
bags. I got embroidery tote bags.
Yeah,
of course. I got punch needle tote bags.
Oh, I love punch needle.
I got baking tote bags. I got knitting tote bags. I got crochet tote bags.
You have gear for camping
where
you get to go to the store and get those great like enamelware mugs.
Love it.
And special things to light fires, and I just love the wilderness and being prepared.
Half the fun of anything to me is the shopping prep.
The kits. I love a kit. I have a first aid kit in my car, in the kitchen, and Paul's car.
You know what I just found? I went through my mom's stuff, and she had kept all of my, well, everything, because I was an only child. She kept all of my everything. But she kept all of my Girl Scout stuff, and my mom was my Girl Scout leader.
So
I have my monogrammed sleeping bag, because that's what you did back then.
Right.
And my duffel bag with a patch on it that had my name on it. And my cookware, where you undid the wing nut to this little metal thing and you slide it over and that becomes the handle.
Yes, it does.
For you, for
it
the
sure
skillet.
Does.
You know
it
about
sure
this.
Sure does. Just to throw this out there, I like to find, if I found a kit that said you cannot be too rich or too thin, I would do that. I like more of a vintage 70s thing. So I find like the 70s patches and I put them on Mary's overalls.
Yeah. You have the coolest. Everything you have is cool. Your house is cool. Your clothes are cool. Every little thing that you pick up is always so, so cool to me.
Thank you. It's a hobby of mine.
You're good at it. You should have a shop.
Finding stuff. I know. Like when
you should have a
one
shop.
Day I would like to. Because I have so much
curate,
stuff. I just want to get rid of it. I'm like, I do enjoy selling. I enjoy buying and selling.
Yeah.
And one day I think I will have a shop. But I'm not ready for that.
Yeah.
Also, I don't know what's going on with the world and brick and mortar, and I don't want to have an online shop. I want to have a real shop.
You've got to have a real shop. We got to touch, especially in home goods, things like that. You want to touch it. You want to see it.
And I like that. I love going to antique malls and stuff like that. So I'm a teaker.
Yeah, she's a teaker.
Okay, so I just want to briefly talk about painting.
Yeah.
Because you mentioned that.
Well, you are a big painter. I am not as big a, I mean, I love painting.
Right.
And I painted more when I was younger. Mm-hmm. And I had more time. And also, I painted when the space was my own, when I lived on my own.
Right.
There's something about having an unfinished giant project wet.
Yeah.
Sitting in the middle of a space where you've got, you know, 13-year-old boys running around.
You can't.
And yeah. So
what kind of paints would you use?
I did oil painting.
Right.
My mom was an oil painter. And
wow. Do you have?
No. So I come to find out as I'm cleaning out all of her things. My mom passed 2 years ago. And as I'm cleaning out her things, I'm looking for, I keep thinking, well, I'm going to come across the paintings. She got rid of all, every single painting she ever painted. And I'm asking her friends who got these paintings, where they said, they're gone. She must have just donated them. So that's fine. That's
right.
I get it. You
it
know?
Hurts me a little.
Yeah. I mean, I have them in photographs from when I was a kid, sort of on the wall behind, you know, who knew that that would become important. But yeah, so.
It would have been nice to hang your mother's
yes.
paintings.
Oh, for sure. But at least I have
the picture.
Right. And, but so I would see her always painting, always making. My mom was a maker. My mom and dad, my dad actually, he's a voiceover guy, radio announcer. My dad and mom, when they first met, they would make these in the 70s. I don't know if you remember these boxes, these like dioramas you'd hang in your kitchen that had like one little section would have wheat and one
yeah,
section would
totally.
Have like lentils.
Yes,
and,
of
you know,
course.
It's like random.
Yeah. Yeah.
So this they kitchen. Used to make those
I like that.
When they were dating. And
that's
then
very cute.
My dad, for years, would make me. He built me a dollhouse and he would make all the furniture.
Yeah.
And he would come home at night and make the furniture for me. And my husband's a big maker. My husband makes jewelry yeah. and he paints.
That is
and,
great.
Yeah.
I'm going to do that for Mary. I already have a couple of books on how to make a dollhouse. My dad did the same for me. And I really like.
It's so special.
Making. I think it's so special too. And she's not old enough yet, but she might, by the time I finish, she might be of age.
Yeah.
So it could be something to start. Now, but I love that your parents were crafty. I also love that you were an only child, and you don't seem like an only child to me, but I also don't know what that means.
Well, I have half siblings, but they're
oh, cool.
much younger than me.
Right, right.
And so we never lived together. So in the sense, you know, I had a brother and a sister with my dad, but they, you know, they were born when I was going to college. So,
right.
You know.
Now, let me just segue back into a hobby for a second, because I do have some questions. The one is, do you have a crafting outfit? Wait.
Yeah.
Do you have a smock?
I have several.
Yes.
I have a, yes, my favorite of all is a denim apron.
Love.
That my friend Heather Sarlous gave to me, and it is incredible.
Why?
Because it's the softest worn-in denim, and it's big and it's long and it has pockets
yeah.
and it's gorgeous. And I often, quote unquote, wink wink, forget to take it off.
Yeah.
And I have to run to the grocery store. Oh, this old thing. I love my denim.
I love my denim apron. I love aprons. I wear
yes.
them around the house. Look,
love it.
When I don't have, sometimes it's very hot in the summer.
Yeah.
I'll throw on a dress. For some crazy mixed up reason, the dress doesn't have pockets,
huh.
which is
what's up with that?
Insane. I wear an apron with
yeah.
pockets.
Right.
It's very. It looks cute.
What,
I have
all
over
purse?
The place.
Are you gonna wear a purse in your house? No.
Right. No.
You throw on an apron.
I wear an apron. Sometimes they're at the waist. Sometimes they're full body.
Yeah.
They come in all different softness and thinness.
Half
and
the time,
I love a denim
I just
apron.
Wear, all I wear around the house is a tube top, a hoop skirt, an apron.
Hoop skirt.
Some wedges.
That's a great look. So
a brassiere, a pocketbook. I don't know.
Remember when smocks were just your dad's shirt backwards?
Oh, yeah. That's so sweet.
Yeah.
That's so,
so
sweet.
Cute.
It's so cute.
Do you have a hobby or like, do you have an activity that you don't do, but like you want to do? Like you don't do it because, let's be honest, you don't really want to, but you wish you did.
Does it have to be a fun thing? Like things that other people enjoy?
It could, no.
Because like I hate organize. I hate cleaning. I hate organizing. Right. I hate it. I love it when it's done. Right. I don't like doing it.
Right.
Needs to
That's
be done.
That's interesting to me. I would think you would like that.
I used to like it and something happened to me. I think what happened to me was a child and a husband.
Yeah.
Because when it was just my stuff, I loved it. I would sit and rearrange a bookcase for days.
Right.
Ooh, that vase would look better on that shelf. And let me move that art book to the bottom. Now it's like, why are there socks on the dining room table?
Totally.
So I guess my thing
it didn't occur to me,
I guess,
to move those.
The thing that I need to do, it just occurred to me. I just had an Oprah moment. Is to let go about those things. Because my thing is like, I wish I wanted to organize it more. I wish I wanted to clean it up more. I wish I could just let it go more.
Right.
Because in 20 years, is my son going to remember? Like, is he going to say to people, you know what was so great? My house was so clean.
Totally.
Or is he going to say, you know what was so great? My mom was so relaxed and we had so much fun. But instead it's like, wait, we can't sit down until this is organized. Well, this is...
Right.
And that's not fun for
anybody.
You're
so right. You know what I like to think? Sometimes when my house is in disarray, I think when I'm upset over it, I go, our house looks like Roseanne's living room right now.
Yeah.
When I feel relaxed about it, when I let it go, our house looks like the Royal Tenenbaums. That's where I go on in a positive way.
When I walked in, I thought, oh my gosh, they have a baby. Not a baby. It taught someone running around purposely messing up everybody's life and their stuff. And it still looks great. So thanks. This is my view of it.
Thank you. That's nice. Did it smell weird?
No.
I want you to be honest with
me. No, because I'm sensitive to that.
And sometimes people don't realize that their own house smells weird.
Yeah, this is true. And I'm telling you it doesn't.
Thanks. Well, if it did, I would appreciate the feedback. I don't feel uncomfortable with somebody saying that.
I would say it smells like something. It doesn't smell. It just smells clean. It smells nice, normal.
Okay. All right.
Maybe I smell bad, though.
Please. You don't. That's end of story. I love you.
You but I say too.
Like, I love you. 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 I really do.
I love you too.
I'm so happy to know you. And I'm so glad that you exist in my lifetime. In a very selfish way.
Likewise.
Thanks.
Thank you. I'm going to go make a cake that looks like boobs.
I'm going to make an apron with patches.
That was wonderful.
Okay, so for filling the void, I'm really interested in like weird hobbies that people are super obsessed with. And we have a toll-free number and you can leave a message. Please call us at 844-370-VOID. Leave a message. Tell me what your weird, awesome, delicious, obsessive hobby is, because I'm like, I just want more and more and more. And I like it when people are obsessed with weird shit. And you can rate and review on Apple Podcasts. Tell your friends about filling the void. Bye.
Earios.
Powered by Acast.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.